Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody, this is Brett. Today is Wednesday, September 13th. I'm going to give you a little bit of information up front. If you just cannot wait until the end of the show to act on what we are going to be discussing, the email address is brett@schoolsucksproject.com. The subject line you should use if you want to participate in this is SSAA. Please stick around after my discussion with Thad for some additional details. Okay, here's the news. So, Dad, I think I'm about to make the biggest announcement in the history of the School Sucks Project.
Yeah, let's hear it.
First, we want to talk about the event, because it relates to our event that's going to be November 10th through the 12th in Los Angeles, California. This is our second Renegade University and School Sucks Project present a weekend with Thaddeus Russell. I'm expanding the event kind of beyond just that weekend in Los Angeles, really based on some of the lessons that we learned when we did this in Salem.
Yeah, that was one of the most amazing things to me about that weekend was the stories of all of the people who have been influenced by School Sucks over the years and have changed their lives because of what they've learned from you and from the guests on their show. These are people who really have rejected school and have taken a lot of risks and have benefited from it. I mean, there are a lot of people there who have chosen to go the unschooled route when they could have or should have, according to social standards, gone to college and could have gone to college and could have gone that route and gotten the correct job and done all the right things. But they've lived very different lives and they've accomplished more and they're happier and much more fulfilled now, they say, than if they had gone that traditional route. So it was an amazing group of people, all of whom had phenomenal stories, things that I had never heard. And I came away thinking, God, there's this whole underground world out there that I didn't know about. I mean, I knew about your show and I knew that some people had made some choices in their lives that were influenced by your show and what you've had to say, but I didn't know there were that many. And they're all over the country. They're all over the country and they're doing these things and they're living in ways that are completely contrary to what Americans are supposed to be doing. There's one story after another that just needs to be told. So I'm really happy that you're doing this.
Yeah, and we have a community here in New Hampshire called the Free Coast. These are people who moved to New Hampshire for the Free State, and they have this thing every year called Free Coast Fest. So I went and attended because these are the kinds of people that I'd like to be hanging out with more regularly. So one of the guys I interviewed, James Davis, has been a listener to School Sucks for a long time and a supporter of the show as well. I was just so impressed with, and I think a lot of that community is like really impressed with him too. He's just one example of a person there, but like exemplifying what it means to be a peaceful parent, what self-directed education looks like. And, you know, he was telling me during the interview, he's like, yeah, we were feeling around in the dark and we found your show. And that was just such a gratifying thing for me that like, oh, some of the stuff that you do, like my show was actually just responsible for some of it, was like a real honor, you know. And the more of those stories that I can make public, you know, not just to make myself feel good, but to help other people see what is possible to find these success stories. I really want that to expand just beyond, you know, the 30 people who were able to attend our event in Massachusetts and the 50 people that we're hoping will attend the event in Los Angeles. Like, these stories are all over the country. And I've decided, you and I kind of hatched this idea a couple weeks ago, and it seemed like a long shot. But I am now 100% going to do a cross-country trip to arrive in Los Angeles on November 10th for our event. But I'm going to be leaving at least 3 weeks prior to that so I can make, I don't want to drive for like more than 5 or 6 hours at a time. So I want to hear as many stories as possible from people all across the country. And a good portion of the outbound trip is already mapped, and I'm working on mapping the inbound trip back to New Hampshire that'll be happening through the middle of November at this point too. So this is like one of the most exciting things I've ever done.
Yeah, I am so happy that you're doing this, and I took a little bit of talking you into it, but I'm glad I did that. And I just think it's going to be, I think it's what you need to do. It's what you should do. And I really can't wait to hear these stories. So you're going to be going from city to city and town to town all across the country, right? Stopping and then interviewing people. Is that right? For the podcast?
Well, I want to meet people primarily, but I would like to do a production in every city that I'm in. And, you know, I'm going to be stopping and seeing some friends, other people who make podcasts along the way. East Hartford, Connecticut, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit, Chicago. That's like the first half of the first trip. And I'm hoping to do small events like meetups. If there's a community of people in a certain area, I know that's the case in Ohio. I know that's the case in Chicago. I know that's the case in Philadelphia. People can have the option of doing a recorded podcast, or if they're not quite comfortable with that, it can be recorded as a bonus show. And if they're not quite comfortable with that, I wouldn't mind just, you know, hanging out with anyone who would put me up for the night along the way. I'm thinking that on the way out, there's probably going to be between 12 and 15 stops. It's about a 45-hour drive. And, you know, if I don't want to spend more than 5 or 6 hours in the car, like the goal is to get up in the morning and drive, you know, like from 10 to 4 or 5 each day, right? So I'm not driving at night. I'm not driving when I'm tired. And then I have an evening and night to spend with new people before I get on the road again and do the same thing the next day.
Yeah. What I said in my first lecture at the Salem weekend is that this is a movement, and we need to be thinking about this as a movement. It's not just a collection of people scattered across the country who listen to your show and maybe have changed their lives a bit. It's actually a mass, and I think we can call it that, a mass cultural shift. It is people, many, many people simultaneously going in new directions, doing things differently. That's a movement. But it's interesting. Social movements don't really cohere and become really powerful and start to make visible changes until they start to think of themselves as a movement. That's true historically. And there's no reason that we can't start thinking of this as a movement and right. self-identifying as such. So that's why I think this trip and these weekends that we're doing together are so important, because that's, I think we are starting to do that with these events and these projects. People will be thinking that they are part of a movement, and they'll understand that what they're doing in their town with their children or with themselves is part of something that really is changing history. And I know that's cliched, and I know people avoid using terms like that, but that's clear to me that the whole edifice of traditional schooling and higher education in this country is shifting, is the ground underneath it is shifting every single day. But it's not really, people don't see it. It's not visible. When you drive by a college campus, it looks the same. You still see the hundreds of freshmen lining up to go in to their first day of classes, and they're all excited, and people are talking about what's going on at college campuses and you know, back to school week, and it all looks the same. But when you start to examine underneath through things like School Sucks and Renegade University, and you see how many people want to travel across the country to attend events like this and who want to talk to you and are so motivated by what you do that yeah. they'll do things like that, then you can see that the future of those traditional institutions is really in doubt. And that's all for the better, of course, but it became really clear to me in that during that Salem weekend that there is a social movement afoot here, and it has the potential, and I firmly believe in it, to make change that historians will be writing about in the future.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that doing this tour across the country and back will give that some cohesion, you know, in a way that when you just say the School Sucks community or School Sucks fans or School Sucks listeners, like I want to connect all of this and bring it to life. That the experience that we had at the event where, you know, I knew these people's names or I had seen them like my things, but to actually like put a microphone in front of, you know, Philip or Daniel or Alex and hear them talk was just amazing. And I remember we would joke years ago when I'd have you on the show and we would do like the Thaddeus Russell call-in show and no one would call because people, I don't know if people were nervous. This is just me offering to bring the mic across the country mm-hmm. to those people to hear those stories. And I'm actually really inspired by you know, the people who came from Ohio, Atlanta, California, and Texas to attend our event in Salem. These were people who took time off from their jobs, time away from their families. Like, why couldn't I have no excuse not to do something like this? I have all this freedom and made some sacrifices of some types of securities that other people might have to live this kind of life. And, you know, I was on vacation in August and I was observing family members who have created less freedom for themselves with their jobs and with their marriages and with their children. And not that you can't have those things and also be free, but from my observations, they hadn't figured it out. And I was just contrasting my life to theirs and saying, there's nothing that stops me right now from getting in my car and driving to Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know, it's not just students and parents who are part of this movement. It's also teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So people like Brett Vinott and Thaddeus Russell, you were the first, in a sense, school sucks movement member, participant. You were one of the first people to do this. But as a teacher, you left that industry as a teacher and decided to go out on your own and be an entrepreneur and make a life as a teacher, but not in those schools. And you started with nothing. No one knew your name. You had never been on TV before. You had never written a book. And you built it into something that is your sole source of income. You're living on this.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made it that successful. And in the meantime, as I said, you've built a movement, but you've been teaching people for 8 years, man. That's what you've been doing. You've been a teacher and you've reached far, 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 far more people and influenced more people than you would have in a classroom. And that's what I'm doing too, of course. That's what Renegade University is all about. I'm just now starting, but it's already clear that this has definitely, for me, the potential to be actually, you know, I am going to reach more people. I can make a living on this and probably a better living even than I would as a professor and lead a movement. Every time I'd meet a professor, some struggling adjunct professor somewhere, I tell them, hey, why don't you just go out and do your own thing? I'm doing it. All you got to do is have a website and you can have your own classes. And I'm telling you, if you're a good teacher, people will come. People will come to your classes. They're interested. There's so much curiosity in this world. Look at the history of podcasting. Mm-hmm. That shows it, that people want long form information, long form journalism, long form entertainment, long form sophisticated entertainment that's informational, that's educational. People will come to your classes. No, and they're always afraid. They don't understand. They think it's too risky, too scary. They can't leave that mothership, you know? And I say to them, but this is a ship that's sinking. It is. There are no jobs for us. It's not working. We're all like rats on the sinking ship. You may as well leave anyway.
It's not even like it has to be an either or choice, though. Like, you can do both. I had a professor on from University of Texas, Daniel Bonovic. He's got a YouTube channel with 10,000 subscribers, and he's still teaching full time. So it's not like somebody has to walk away from all that security. Like, with entrepreneurship, you can, while you have that comfortable foundation, you can start to dabble in these other things. I wish more of them would do that.
Sure. Yeah. That's absolutely happening as well.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the army, the giant army of people like me in academia who can't get a job. And that's not because we're not good. It's because that there are no jobs, that every time we apply for a job, there are 500 applicants. And that's true for me. And, you know, colleges I've taught at recently, it's 40 to 50% of the classes are taught by adjuncts. These are people who teach one or two classes, they have no job security, and they make $2,000 or $3,000 or maybe at most $5,000 per class. So what they have to do is, to make it as a full-time, you know, living, they have to teach multiple classes, usually at different schools. So they're driving often all over a region or all over a city from one college to the next, teaching this class here and this class there, stringing it together. And even then, they're not going to make a middle class salary, and they can be fired at any time, and they have no benefits, and it's not even fun. And there's nothing nice. There's nothing good about it. They're teaching classes, intro classes, big lecture hall classes. They're teaching these kids who are not motivated, which is true, unfortunately, even for most college students. Unlike, by the way, all the people at the Salem weekend, as I said to them, and I think as I've said it before on here, It was teaching a class of all of my very best students. It was every single person in there was an A-plus student. They were all there for one reason and one reason only. They were ultra motivated, totally curious, completely engaged. It is what any professor dies for. Those are the students we want. And it was every single person in there was that kind of person, that kind of student. It was phenomenal. So that's the other thing about this, right? When you make it your own thing, the quality of the experience just skyrockets.
Absolutely.
It's everything is meaningful. Everything counts. Everybody you talk to is interested in this, is passionate about this. It's not a 19-year-old who is somewhat interested in United States history, but really is interested in their volleyball team or much more interested in their boyfriend or is thinking about their other four classes and also is trying to put together their rest, blah, 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 right? These are all people who go out of their way to either download a podcast or spend money to go to some event or, you know, who are interested primarily in this moment, primarily in talking about these things. It's, yeah. It's what I thought college teaching was going to be. And it never turned out to be that. So, but now it's really happening for the first time in my whole life.
Yeah, putting out the show as a kind of signal, the people it drew into my life, I'm so grateful, you know, for so many of them, not just the people that I've met and the experiences that I've had, the relationships that have formed, all of the things that I've learned, all of the new learning pursuits that have become available to me or that I chose to follow. It's just been amazing. And I want to do more of that. And I want it to be like the real face-to-face connection we had in Salem and that I'm sure we'll have in Los Angeles in November.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a trip like this across the country? Because I am a little, I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about like the logistics of it. It's fun. It's like the more I get done, the more confident I feel. But it was quite overwhelming in the beginning.
It's what I live for, actually. This is the kind of thing I love to do. And that's why I was so excited when it came up and I started to encourage you to do it because I don't know what it is. I love traveling and I love exploring. And especially when I am meeting people along the way, traveling where you go from town to town, but you know people in those towns, that is so much better than just going on your own and sort of seeing places sort of on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. And I actually love planning the logistics. And I have done two cross-country trips in a car, one from Ohio to California and one when we moved from New York City to Los Angeles. We drove all the way and that was one of the highlights of my life, actually. I plotted the trip and I found out all the interesting, offbeat, cool places to visit in every state we were traveling through. So I could tell you where all the amusement parks in Iowa were and all of the, weird sites to see were in Nebraska and which country roads were the most scenic. And whenever we had a place to stay with people, that was the most meaningful thing. There's something about being with people, seeing them in where they live that really makes it much more meaningful. So yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. The other thing I did on that trip, I just remembered this, I wrote a blog.
So oh,
that's
wow.
Sort of similar. So I was recording the experience and I would write about each stop. I would write about and I loved doing that. God. So I don't think I've ever said this in public. I have wanted to be a travel writer my whole life. And maybe someday I'll do that. But I am going to do this. I'm going to do what you're doing with School Sucks with Renegade University. I'm definitely taking it on the road. Well, I mean, I've already taken it on the road to Salem, but
yeah.
I've always been planning to do courses, do seminars, do weekends in towns and cities all across the country. So I took a survey of people on the Renegade University mailing list and found out that there's a whole lot of interest in all kinds of towns across the country. So I'm hoping within the next year to have weekends and courses and seminars in person in Austin, Texas, in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., probably in Ohio now, because it looks like from this last weekend that I got a lot of people in Ohio who would be interested in this, in Portland and Seattle and the Bay Area and possibly Denver. And I am super excited about that. I can't wait to do that. I love going on the road and meeting people.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah. And then, but most importantly, also making something from it like what you're doing.
Right.
So recording things, making a podcast, making something, a blog, writing about it, doing a course, doing a video, creating something that you'll have forever. That's not just a souvenir, but is actually the marker of a change in your life.
Indeed. Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And I look forward to your input on this trip, but I also want to get input from listeners. I mean, I have definite stops along the way, but I'm going to be right now, I'm cutting pretty much a straight shot from Philadelphia to Sacramento, California, through right at the Kansas-Nebraska border. I want to hear from people who are in some of these areas along the way. The route going back is going to be through the South, Phoenix to Atlanta. It's probably going to be 15 different destinations on the way out and 8 on the way back, because I'm wanting to be wrapped up by the end of the third week in November, like be back home by then. But it is, coast to coast. It's Portsmouth, New Hampshire to Monterey, California, before I drive down the whole California coast, which I've always wanted to do, and probably stopping a couple places along the way before Los Angeles. So what I really want, input from people, if you have, a home educating family, if you have a liberty community, if you've always wanted to be heard on the show, or if you have had questions that you've wanted to ask me face to face, I'm encouraging those people to send me a private message, just with the understanding that many things will be possible, but some things will not be possible. And I'm going to be very judicious about, which is which. And I'm also, trying to create something that is as efficient as a cross-country drive can be. But I definitely want to hear a lot from the listeners over the course of the next week to help me really, really bring this into focus. I have a good sketch of what I want it to be, but I'm really, really interested in hearing from the people in the audience and hopefully meeting many of them along the way.
So Los Angeles, in a sense, will be one stop for you, because we're going to do a live podcast just like we did in Salem mm-hmm. on Sunday. We're going to do a live podcast recording of Unregistered and School Sucks Sunday afternoon. And, in Salem, a lot of that was people talking about what they were learning and their lives and how they connected to each other. And so we're going to do that again in Los Angeles. They'll be talking to me and you on the stage. But, it's going to be the same thing you're doing all across the country. It's going to be hearing from people about how they've changed their lives and changed their ideas. So, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm hoping you're going to report to us over the weekend in Los Angeles about your trip across the country and what you've learned and who you've met, and maybe you can share some of the experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah, I look forward to doing that. People will also, if they are listening to the show, they could hear these podcasts that I'll be releasing along the way. Remember, this is happening like 3 weeks prior to the event in LA. So people might even have questions about things they already know about the trip, which I think would be totally awesome.
Mm-hmm. Can I change the subject for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Because I just thought of something. We were talking about teachers and teachers changing their lives, teachers being unschooled, right? Like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I have been thinking about lately, and again, this is because of what people have said to me. This is not something I thought of on my own at all. It's only because of what people have said to me. I've gotten a lot of requests from parents and from high school students to develop a curriculum for them. Like a homeschool or unschool curriculum based on my work. And I thought, oh yeah, that never occurred to me, because I've been trained to think that there's this hard line between a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, that a 17-year-old can't read my books. A 17-year-old can't understand the arguments I'm making, but an 18-year-old can. That's what we're trained to think, right?
Exactly.
And it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're breaking all these boundaries, all these walls down, those institutions with their ivy covered walls, but also boundaries between teachers and students, and also between college and high school, or high school and middle school. Those things are all arbitrary designations to basically arrange us like products in a factory that are being built. There's no reason. I mean, I've had a lot of fans over the years who were in high school, who were 16
right.
and 17 and 18 years old. In fact, a lot of the people who were at Salem had been reading my book when they were in high school, and they had as sophisticated a take on what I was saying as anybody I've ever met. So I love that we are, mashing up all these categories. And that's one of the things I'm really excited about. Just the other day, I had a friend of mine who's a parent of a 12-year-old say, "Hey, you know, what can I, is there something from Renegade History or your new book that I can give to my kid? Or, you know, maybe, you know, can you do a course?" He actually, really, that's what he wanted. He wanted a course for middle schoolers. And I thought, "Oh no, I can't." My immediate response was, "Oh no, that's impossible. They'll never be able to understand it." That makes no sense. I mean, we teach middle schoolers all the time American history. They have U.S. In fact, that's when they start taking U.S. history courses, is when they're in middle school. It's just that the content is written by the state. Well, why can't we have content that's written by us for those kids, for kids that age? And so it's, the whole thing is up for grabs. Everything's changing now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a definite market for you to do something like that. I've been just spending time with these self-directed learning families over the past weekend. I started looking at everything that I've done, and there's a way to, you know, map all that content and organize it and make it useful specifically for teenagers, right? Because I talk to adults on my show, that's who most of the audience is, but I want to always make sure that everything is accessible to mm-hmm. the people that I really originally wanted to reach, which are those who are stuck in secondary school.
Yeah, you know, so I had one of my favorite conversations at Salem was with, I guess I can use their first names, Shauna and Jared, who are a family of parents in Wichita, Kansas, and they're unschoolers and they have two kids, and I think their oldest is 8. And they were talking about this too. And, you know, they were saying, "We would love to, you know, figure out a way to get your content to our kids." And the way they were talking about how they're raising their kids is so radical. I mean, these are radical people. They are doing radical parenting, radical teaching. There's radical education going on. These kids are radical. They think differently. That's the whole point here, right? So there's no reason, right, why we can't teach middle schoolers or even elementary schoolers totally different concepts and ideas. They can absolutely handle it. If you can do radical unschooling, well, that's there. Then you can introduce them to all sorts of radical ideas, different. Mm-hmm. And when I say radical, I just mean different, just radically different ideas. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole new world for me, at least, that's opening up.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to learn more about what so many of these people are already doing, you know, the people who society doesn't consider to be teachers, but are doing mm-hmm. some of the most amazing work
exactly.
with kids across the country right now. And I did want to stress that this is a really important thing for me to do at this juncture in my life. Like, this, I feel, is the reward for, or a big reward. There are small rewards along the way of, you know, living this kind of lifestyle. But this is obviously a huge opportunity that I've created for myself that I really would, I feel like I would be a fool not to take advantage of it at this point. So at first, it sounded like the most ridiculous, like far-fetched idea. And then, like, as more things came into focus and I think about where I am in life, nothing made more sense mm-hmm. than doing this. You know, I feel like I had gotten fairly despondent over the last few months, kind of, you know, sitting at home in front of the computer, observing all of these things that are happening, even just in the country, that I am powerless against, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, here's, you know, stories of millions of people who would not listen to anything that you said in action. You know, this is how they're living their lives and making things worse. And it's really disempowering. It made me, like, my original advice to people was, you know, start in the sphere that you can control, which is yourself, and yep. then expand it to your friends and your family yep. and your community. And then maybe, you know, you could think about getting rid of the Federal Reserve if that's still a priority,
yep.
if you still have energy left
exactly.
to extend yourself that far beyond your control. So I don't always follow that advice, which I think is why I originally gave it, because I needed to hear myself say it again and again. And, you know, instead of doing that, instead of continuing to talk about Charlottesville or CNN or Trump or whatever people are stressing themselves out, focusing on and talking about, I can actually go and observe and interact with a community that in many ways I helped to create. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like the polar opposite of sitting around and
yes.
feeling powerless,
exactly.
you know? So at this point in my life, with those considerations, I think this is absolutely one of the best decisions I could make. So that, you know, that October 18th is the rough date that I'm going to leave. It can't come soon enough.
Perfectly put. I will say this. I have been off of Twitter most of the last year, partly because it depresses me every time I'm on Twitter,
right.
but mostly because I've been so busy making a new life for myself. You know, I don't have time to be on Twitter. So guess what? I'm a hell of a lot happier. I'm
a
lot happier that I'm making something in my own life, you know, that's basically local in a sense, right? It's stuff that it's immediately in front of me that I can change. And it is so much more fulfilling than getting into some fight on Twitter, or just more often is just passively scrolling through the thing and reading about things that I can't change or that I might be able to change in the distant future if I change or we change the culture. Because, you know, this is social movement 101. Law and high politics and electoral politics is all, I believe, downstream from culture. When the culture changes, all those other things follow. And so we're actually usually, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, we actually kind of flip that around in the way that we practice in our own lives. What we do is we spend, generally speaking, tend to spend a lot of time reading the news, reading about Washington, D.C., reading about what's on, you know, what's on the news, what are the big stories, what's happening nationally or internationally, and then we spend very little time making things, doing things, creating things in our own lives that are political. I mean, people spend, of course, a lot of time creating things that are not political. I'm talking about people who are interested in politics and big political change. That's what I'm saying. You know, the movement we have a movement right now. There are people, we've demonstrated, we've seen that there are people all over this country who are changing their lives, who are thinking differently, but in similar ways. And so what we need to do is to start thinking about ourselves as that. And when that happens, then we're going to become visible to more people.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what you and I are doing here. We're making this movement visible to more people. And we're also making the people who are already a part of it see it as something that is historic, that is making broader changes in the society. And I am totally convinced that within 5 to 10 years, things are going to look different in education because of what we are doing and people like us are doing all over this country. But we need to start thinking about it as a broad social movement and treating it as such. And so that's one of the reasons for this weekend and I think your trip across the country, for me at least. That's why I encouraged you to do it, because I wanted you, actually, I had to convince you to see it this way, you know, that what you have done is been a big part in creating a broad social change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've met School Sucks people who live in Oregon, who live in Ohio, who live in Kansas, who have similar ideas and they've taken similar paths because basically of this hub you have created in School Sucks because of ideas they've gotten from. Well, man, if I had that on my resume, you know, I die happy. That's it. That's
I appreciate that.
What more could you want? I mean, what an amazing accomplishment.
I'm super impressed with the people that I encounter, and it only adds to my excitement when I find out, like, people who are, whether it's just libertarian or they're interested in alternative schooling or peaceful parenting, I'm so impressed by so much of what I see, and then it's just an added bonus when I find out, oh, like, well, your show was really helpful or your show was really important. I want to be clear, though, as we're planning this trip, that I'm not touring the country as any kind of an inspection, of what people are doing. And I say that because, like, just being out in Newmarket, the first event that I attended at this Free Coast Festival was this peaceful parenting or raising voluntary children, it was called, and a lot of it was focused on self-directed learning. And I was just so appreciative of the vulnerability that these people were willing to show to a crowd of people. Now, granted, a lot of them knew each other and I know that's helpful, but it wasn't like any kind of a masquerade. People said, no, we have these problems all the time. This is tough work. I mean, that's what it was about, you know, kind of what you always say about parenting. It's a real challenge. And so this was like a constructive and like highlighting successes, but also not shying away from vulnerability. And, you know, I'm not looking for anything different from the experience, really moving experience that I had with these people on the seacoast. So I hope, you know, the way that we're talking about this doesn't make anyone, shy away from the idea of doing a production, because I want to hear those stories. And, you know, we all have these challenges, whether they're, you know, parenting or just life in general. So I really just want to meet the people who are doing this work and be there for any stories they want to share.
One of the last straws on the camel's back for me was about 2 years ago. Occidental College went through accreditation, and so that involved having these professors from fancy universities come to the university and inspect our department, mm-hmm. and to, you know, write a report on the curriculum and the teaching that was going on in the department, which meant that they had to interview each professor, including the adjuncts. And so I had to sit in a room with three professors from other schools and have them examine my syllabi and make sure that I was teaching the right books and make sure that I was understood the historiography of the subjects I was teaching. And it was so demeaning and demoralizing and infuriating. And, you know, I can only imagine what it would be like as a homeschool parent, you know, having the state inspector come and sort of inspect their curriculum, or mm-hmm. or a teacher in a regular school have to answer to, you know, the principal. And good God, no, you're not going to do that, Brett. I don't think this is what did you call it on my podcast? The Brett Vinat learning environment. You're not running a school.
Absolutely not. And I've been on the other side of that. I've been inspected and asked weird questions by, like, even working in private school, sure. By weird state regulators. And I would never want to create. I mean, I was half kidding about that, but I wouldn't want anybody to feel like I'm coming to them with some kind of expectation of, you know, what their home is going to look like, or I have some perfect vision. I think that's the really exciting thing, is I want to see all the different ways. And even if people aren't parents, I just want to see all the different ways that people are applying these ideas or this philosophy or these realizations. That's what's important to me.
I mean, what I think what you and I are about is just people creating alternatives. That's all. And
right.
and feeling like they can create an alternative. I don't really care, in fact, what kinds of new schools are created, what kinds of new learning environments are created outside of the traditional institutions. I really mm-hmm. don't, in terms of the content and what they're teaching. I don't care. I don't care if people do Christian conservative curriculum. I don't care if they teach creationism. I don't care if they teach Trotskyism, whatever. You know, it's just, I just want people to think that they can do this, that they can leave, they can exit and create something new. That's all. So, yeah, and I think that's true for you too. I mean, sure, you and I have our own particular ideas and our own particular take on things, but no, I just want people to have an exit, a means of exit, and to understand that they have that.
Yeah, and to be able to see numerous examples of it, which is what we're hoping to show people.
See, that's the thing. Everybody's afraid, right? Every time I talk to some adjunct professor who has, you know, making 20 grand a year and totally unsatisfied and can't get a real job, you know, when I tell them to do what I'm doing, they shut it down, because they shut themselves down because they're afraid. And they're afraid because I'm the first person they've heard of who's done this, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, believe me, I'm plenty afraid and have been, still am. But that's it. When you see that other people have done it and can do it, the fear goes away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to do all this in LA. We're going to bring it all together. You know, we're going to be talking about high politics, high theory, and low popular culture and the history of that. And also low, meaning what real people are doing in their own lives. Low culture now, and I don't mean low class, but I mean low to the ground, what people are doing on the ground in their in real lives and real ways that are really meaningful to them personally. So that's what we did in Salem that was so amazing to me, and that's what we're going to do again in LA. We're going to bring all those things together, connect them all together, and make it into something that's coherent and meaningful, and again is changing the world.
Yeah, and I can't wait to connect, you know, where I am to Los Angeles with all of these little dots along the way, where I can get even more of those stories from people who wouldn't be able to attend the event. And we like 50. Like, that's kind of the magic number. Mm. I know we have a lot of people. I said this last time about New Hampshire, but I know we have a lot of people in San Diego, and I know they have a great Liberty community there, and I would love to see some of those people come up to LA for this.
And I know that we have a lot of people in Los Angeles, too. We've got a lot of fans in Los Angeles, and I'm really excited about meeting them.
So look, I know you're up against a hard break. I'm going to add some more details and requests for my audience. And I look forward to talking about all this in the near future with you.
Me too. Can't wait, man.
Okay, everybody, before we wrap up today, I want to talk about some details with you. Please email me at brett@schoolsocksproject.com. Use the subject line SSAA, that is School Sucks Across America, so I know that I can prioritize those emails. The earlier you are, the faster you act, the broader a range of dates I can give you for a meetup or a small event or just a get-together. I would love to produce some kind of content at every stop, but that's not mandatory to get me to stop there, obviously. I talked about this during the conversation with Thad. I'm cutting a kind of central path through the United States with a couple of excursions north from Columbus, almost directly north from Columbus, Ohio, to Detroit, across to Chicago, and then back down to Kansas, then across Colorado and Utah, across Nevada, entering California and coming through Sacramento, down the California coast to Los Angeles, and then I'm swinging back through Phoenix, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and then on to the Deep South. I'm really interested in seeing that. I've never been south of Virginia or north of Florida in that area. So I'm just told you should stay away from canoe trips on rivers and you should be fine. Atlanta is a likely stop. Asheville, North Carolina is a likely stop. So if you are anywhere along this path and the graphic for this show has the rough path of the trip, please email me as soon as you can if you want to set something up. I know I'm going to spend a couple of days in Philly. I'm going to spend a couple of days in Detroit. I'm probably going to spend a couple of days in Colorado. And I'm going to be in California for the better part of a week. So lots of options. I probably will not make it down to San Diego. So if you want to be part of the event, I hope you will come up from San Diego. I understand it's a little less than 2 hours in good driving conditions. And from like North Carolina back to where I live, there isn't much scheduled yet. And that's also a good distance away. So if you want to plan for the future, you know, like the middle of November, we can do that as well. I've been hard at work in my Evernote making schedules, but also supply lists for production, for travel, for mental wellness while I'm on the road. I have a list that includes everything from a new laptop to eyeglasses to new tires for my car, to a full tune-up, to a GoPro and GoPro mounts, to Quest bars and little sacks of nuts. So I don't, at the end of the month, find myself in a Morgan Spurlock kind of situation from having to eat fast food. I'm usually pretty good with the self-control, but I know what it's like to be hungry, and the only thing within 100 miles is a McDaniels. Now, I'm going to purchase all of these things, the eyeglasses, the tires, the laptop, the snacks, etc., etc., regardless of what kind of support I get from anybody else. This is a done deal. This is happening. I need these things. I need about $2,000 worth of dental work that my dentist is really encouraging me to do before I go on this trip. And it would also be good before I go and cheese it in front of the camera with a bunch of listeners at various locations, but that might have to wait. That being said, if you want to show your support for this adventure, these are the ways that I recommend. Bitcoin is extremely helpful because Expedia takes Bitcoin for hotels. And I do see that there's a couple significant stretches where I'm not sure I'm going to find School Sucks listeners in between one scheduled stop and the next. And that means probably spending the night in a hotel. I have very low standards for hotels. You should see some of the hotels that I've stayed in. So all Bitcoin donations are appreciated. And, you know, you can find hotels. I'm sure it might even be cheap. Everything is more expensive where I live. So I'm thinking in a lot of these places, I could probably find hotels for like $60 to $80 a night. I also really appreciate and am comforted by the consistent support that a lot of listeners provide. The two ways to do that are Patreon, where we just ask for $1 per content item that I post on Patreon. Usually works out for most people to $5 to $7 a month. If you sign up for Patreon today, you'll get access to over 30 shows, some really interesting content that never appeared in the regular podcast feed, including Brett and Andrew's Teen Saga. I'm editing the second part of that tonight and hoping to get that up for patrons tomorrow. The other option available to you is the trusted and beloved old AV Club at schoolsucksproject.com/AV. We've had, you know, a kind of apocalypse with AV Club supporters over the course of this year, and it has been the central fundraising mechanism for making the show possible, for allowing the show to continue. And I'm not going to lie, it's hurting a little bit. I haven't been pushing it too hard because I haven't been adding a lot of bonus content, and I haven't felt great about that. I did just recently add a number of things. There's a few more things queued up and almost ready to be added. But, you know, people drop out of that very regularly. People have changing financial situations. They lose their jobs. They have to make some kind of large investment and scale back on all of their contributions to media projects. I totally understand that. I try to talk to people when they cancel. Some people are really good about it, and they email me and tell me what's going on. Only one person in the last couple of years has canceled with a criticism, and he said, "You're not posting enough bonus content." And that really hit me. That really affected me because he was absolutely right. There was a good, solid 5 or 6 weeks where I didn't post anything, and I am committed to correcting that. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of a lot of still very interesting, very amusing, and relevant content. I'm proud of what we've created for the people who support this show. So please go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV. You can sign up there for a minimum of $8 a month. And even at that level, you get access to hundreds and hundreds of hours of additional content. So on a final note, we also do have an Amazon wish list. I'm making a list of supplies that I need for this trip and posting them there. After this trip, I am shutting down the Amazon wish list. I like to think that School Sucks has a product in the form of all of this additional content. There's more products coming in the future. And if you have, you know, resources that you want to devote to this, I want to make sure you get value in return, you know, beyond what everybody else can get for free. But for now, if this is the way that you want to make a contribution to this trip, and, you know, this experience for me and for many School Sucks listeners and the entire School Sucks audience, because you're going to get to enjoy what we create together, the Amazon wish list is another way that you can help out. So all of those are greatly appreciated, but I just want to reiterate that AV Club has been in a huge slump for a few months, and I haven't been pushing it, but I'm talking to other content creators about getting on a regular schedule with producing additional stuff for supporters. I talked to Jake DeSillis. I just had a conversation. Jake and I took a beautiful walk around Newmarket, New Hampshire last weekend, and we actually talked about an ongoing project that we could do for our supporters. Thad and I have talked about this. I have a really fun idea that we could do together. So I do have material that's going into the bonus content section in the near future, and I put material in it recently after a long drought, I know, but I ask for your help in motivating me to produce stuff more regularly. When people are signing up and checking it out, I'm really energized to create more stuff for those people. I've always said that the AV Club is really not about just having more podcast content or video content to consume. I know you already have enough. It is a way of supporting the public work that we do. And I hope that the stories you get to hear over the months of October and November will inspire more of you to help out. Because I think it has been really, really important. And it also has been really, really gratifying, as I've said, to give that stuff away, to make that stuff available for free, to make it discoverable to parents and young people who've struggled through the school experience. And if you appreciate that, I hope you'll go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV and help turn that around for us. And all of these means of support that I mentioned are listed in the show notes for this episode. They are also in the top menu on the desktop version of schoolsucksproject.com. Okay, I think that's everything. I'm really, really excited to be making this public right now. I hope that when you see this, you'll like it, comment on it, have discussions about it in the School Sucks group. Show your enthusiasm for this project in all of these terrible social media places. And I appreciate any support you can provide in making this endeavor a reality next month. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care.